Everybody, good morning. I am Pastor Andrew. Thanks, Chris, for the introduction. And I'd like to welcome all of us gathered here, especially for the Sunday service. And for those of us watching us online, welcome. And we're so pleased to have you celebrate the Sunday service with us. Before I start the sermon today, I would like to give a special recognition to all of us here and to all of those gathered in the separate houses as a cell group or parts of a cell group to watch and celebrate Sunday service together. I know it is a bit of a sacrifice, especially since we've grown accustomed to armchair services. Basically, I mean, actually our chairs are still armchair services here. But then, basically watching from home and having the convenience of being able to click and watch a service anytime. But there's a special offering to God that is made when you take that time out from your busy schedule. You set a special time apart for God and you come to church all the way from your homes, sacrificing that breakfast or that lunch or corralling all your family to come and worship God together. There's a special offering that is made by your effort and God sees it and God honors it. For those of us gathered back home that are unable to come because of health reasons, one day, I hope to see you one day still in church where we can greet each other and meet each other in the body of Christ. Right? On the other hand, I also do want to apologize for some of the unfortunate miscommunications and situations that appear. I know most of you see me out there on Sunday at the registration table, and at times we've had to turn some of you away because sometimes there are not enough seats, although that is not clearly not the issue here today. Sometimes there are not enough seats, and sometimes there are miscommunications about the zones. It truly breaks my heart when I have to turn away people from church or people leave church because of these miscommunications. Although all the effort and sacrifice they put in to come and worship God, we want to see that to fruition. We want to see that fulfilled. And although there are these sort of issues, I still do and I still do ask you to come to church, give that devotion and that sacrifice to God, and God will honor that. Okay, with that said, let us prepare our hearts for the sermon. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, it's January 31st. It's literally the last day of the first month of 2021. And how are all of we? Are we doing well? Right? Is it all that you thought it would be? Well, honestly, in December, I was feeling a surge of hope, right? There was so much going on. There was that green lane to Hong Kong. There was thought of Malaysia opening up. There was the markets were surging. And right now, and there was that long-awaited vaccine that was coming, right? But standing here on the 31st of January looking back, wow, the picture looks slightly different, doesn't it? China is in lockdown. Europe is being decimated by the new strain. JB is still closed. And that long-awaited vaccine has come, at least for some of us, under suspect. Right? All of this bad news at the end of the first month is large enough to make us from hope turn to despair or maybe even fear and go back and hide in place, go back and enter into what I call survival mode. And I'm pretty sure most of us here and most of us at home, we are familiar with what this survival mode is all about, right? Survival mode, of course, helps us through this great time of anxiety and uncertainty. It focuses our attention on accomplishing the necessary things. It focuses us on keeping our jobs so that we can provide for our family. It focuses us on keeping our family together, right? Keeping harmony and all that. It even focuses us on our own health, our own mental and emotional health, and how to maintain all these things. So, survival mode is pretty useful. But the question is that what life is all about? Is that what surviving or keeping on the call that God has given to us, His people? Well, although survival mode helps us, as it were, survive, what it does is it also invariably cuts out some of the other important and necessary things in our life. And this is why 2 weeks ago, when Pastor Daniel gave us that message about breaking up our fallow ground, it was so poignant to so many of us. I'll remind us that Pastor Daniel issued that prophetic call from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and it reads, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you." Survival mode is about, unfortunately, our own self-interest. And okay, you may be taken aback, but I'm not selfish, what? And you're right. When I say self-interest, I don't mean selfish. It is not selfish for you to try your best to keep your job so that you can provide for your family. It is not selfish for you to slave over stove and wok so that you can nourish your family and provide them comfort through home-prepared meals. It is not selfish for you to look after your own mental health and the mental health of those close to you. It is not selfish at all. But what it is self-interested. It is all about you, essentially. Survival mode, as the name implies, is about your survival, our individual survival. And that's what COVID-19 has done to us. It has taken the frame of our lives and moved it solely around our own individual needs, our own individual goals, and our own individual lives. But is that the call again? Is that the call of God for the people of God? Leviticus 20 tells us otherwise. Leviticus 20, verses 24 to 26, write, this is God saying to Israel, "But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, that is a promised land, and I'll give to you to possess a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean and unclean, between unclean birds and clean, and you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I've separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." The call for God in every time and in every place, under every circumstance, for all the people of God, you and I, is one: be holy as the Lord your God is holy. They were in the desert. They were in a place that lacked natural sustenance, that lacked natural resource. All of their resources were artificial. Water came from Miriam's rock. Manna came from heaven. And of course, meat came from the quail that God would rain on them from time to time. Yet God was telling them, don't seek your own self-interest. Don't look at your sandals. Apparently, the sandals never wore out, right? Better than Birkenstock. But He did not ask them to look after their own self-interest. Instead, what did God call the people of God to do? Be holy as I am holy. That is the call for God for us today, in the midst of COVID, to be a holy people unto God. In this sense, that is why whenever I am here, whenever I am given the privilege to preach, I will be preaching about holiness. Unless that week is very special, For example, in 2 weeks' time, Chinese New Year and Valentine's Day is quite a special day, so I will not be preaching on holiness. But other than that, every time I'm up here, at least for the next few times, I'll be preaching on holiness. I'll be preaching on holiness as a community of faith, holiness as Christians, and I'll be preaching on holiness as a national community of faith, that is, as Singaporean Christians. But holiness doesn't start in community, nor does it start out as a nation. It starts out with each and every one of us. It starts out individually. Each of us has to make a commitment to God to be holy unto Him. And that is what brings us to our text today. Our text today is the other text. What I mean by that, right? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Daniel preached on Hosea 10 verse 12 that called us to break up our fallow ground. But that text was not the only one that talked about breaking up fallow ground. There was another text later on. This from a later prophet by the name, I mean, some of y'all might know him, by the name of Jeremiah, right? And he was preaching to the southern kingdom of Judah. And he said this, Jeremiah 4, verses 1 to 4. If you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then you shall not be moved. And you shall swear, the Lord lives. In truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him they shall glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. According, the prophetic call to break up our fallow ground was given by Hosea, Jeremiah, and our own prophet, Pastor Daniel. And of course, breaking up our fallow ground, at least to Jeremiah, begins with the circumcising of ourselves, in fact, of our whole hearts towards God. It begins with individuals choosing God's holiness over our situation. But before we get ahead of ourselves, we must ask, what does this circumcision of the heart entail? Well, basically, the idea of circumcision of the heart is the cutting off of all other extant desires that are not of God, and of sacrificing our heart, lifting our heart as a possession for God's own, for God only to rule over. I say it again, the circumcision of our heart is the cutting off of all other desires that are not of God, and of lifting our hearts to God. But of course, it's not a simple process, neither is it easy. And that's why we must go into what it entails to circumcise our hearts to God. So first, I mean, most of us would not have had personal experience with circumcision. And before we titillate our imaginations with what it means to be circumcised, let us look to the Bible. The Bible in Genesis 34 actually describes a weaponization of circumcision. And yes, the sons of Jacob, no less, the usurper or the deceitful one, weaponized a holy instrument of God against the people of the land for revenge. Right? In Genesis 34, what happens is their sister Dinah has been defiled and they are very angry. So they decide to trick the inhabitants of the land that say, okay, you can marry our sister, or they convince their father that to hand over Dinah if you circumcise all the males in your city. And this is how it went. Genesis 34, verses 24 to 29. And all who went out of the gate of his city, that is the pagan city in the land, heeded Hamor and Shechem his son. Every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Now it came to pass on the third day when they were in pain. Of course, circumcision involves pain. And two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain, plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, their donkeys, what was in the city and what was in the field, and all their wealth, All their little ones and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the houses. What a narrative, right? Talking about circumcision. But what it communicates to us is that when the Bible mentions circumcision, it invariably involves pain, right? Circumcising our hearts, as Jeremiah calls us to, then it's not talking about the same physical pain as what we heard just now in Genesis 34. Rather, it communicates that spiritual pain that comes with us circumcising our hearts. When we talk about circumcision of the heart, I'm not talking about increasing our devotion time, you know, maybe 5 more minutes of prayer a day. I'm not talking about increasing our Bible reading, you know, not 1 more or 2 more chapters a day. What circumcision of the heart looks like is the cutting off of the desires that so gratify us, that we in survival mode used to make us feel good, but are invariably ungodly. Maybe you attend to some things, you visit internet websites online that make you feel good. Maybe you engage in pretty unhealthy relationships with others so that you can find your self-worth. Maybe you engage in habits like smoking, or maybe even other narcotics, so that you can feel your own self-worth. These things, these addictions, they are not of God. And yes, when you think about cutting away these desires, it is painful. You want them. You love these sins. Like, I know I have sins that I love. And cutting away those things are painful. But this is exactly what the circumcision of the heart requires. It requires courage and determination. It requires us to cut away these desires so that we can cease to sin and start pursuing God's holiness in our lives. So one, circumcision of the heart will entail pain. Right? Two, there is a flip side to this pain, right? And that flip side is sacrifice. In Matthew 13, verse 44 to 45, Jesus actually describes how the kingdom of God apprehends us, and at the same time, how we apprehend the kingdom of God. And he does this in two parables. The first, and actually this should be pretty familiar to all of us here. The first is the treasure in the field, right? Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. How we apprehend the kingdom of God, how we enter in, and how even the kingdom of God grasps onto us is through sacrifice. First, through the sacrifice of our King, our Lord Jesus Christ for us on the cross. And two, through our own sacrifices in this case of cutting off those unholy desires and making our hearts holy unto God. If you want to experience that kingdom life, if you want to walk daily with a holy God, we must circumcise our hearts to be holy unto God. And that is our sacrifice. That pain which we endure, which we bravely face in cutting off the extent and unholy desires of our heart, becomes our sacrifice by which we reach out and grasp hold the hand of God, equally at the same time reaching out to grasp our hands. Sacrifice is the flip side of pain. But I don't mean sacrifice once again in that material sense. I'm not here asking you to increase your tithes or your offerings. I'm not even here to ask you to increase your effort, right, in biblical or spiritual disciplines. What I'm asking you to do, In fact, in Isaiah, the prophet tells us that these kind of material sacrifices are not what God is looking for. Isaiah 1 verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fat cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. So what sacrifice is pleasing to the Lord? And this brings us back, once again, to that sacrifice of our hearts towards holiness to God. The circumcision of our hearts towards holiness to God. And this is found in Isaiah 1, the same chapter, verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. The circumcision of our hearts to be holy towards God is what God is calling for us to do, even in the time of COVID. There is no time where God says, fine, don't need to be holy. At all times, even in the difficult times, in the wilderness and in the siege of this disease, we are to be holy towards God. And of course, it is understandable, really, at first, that when the suddenness of COVID confronts us, that we focus in on ourselves, right? It is natural. It is natural to seek self-preservation. But at the same time, COVID-19, that 19 is 2019. This year is 2021. It's the end of the first month already. Brothers and sisters, we must be about the business of our Father in heaven. We must be about the business of holiness in this world. We must circumcise our hearts, first individually to God, so that we may be His holy people in this land. So what? So I've talked about circumcision as both painful and as a sacrifice. And we look at it and we think, wow, that's difficult, right? I look at circumcision of my heart in my own life and I think to myself, oh, that is such a daunting task. But what do we get out of it? Well, we get two things. One, and or rather we live up to two things. One, we begin to live a life in covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father. We begin to walk holy with a holy God. We begin to experience His love, His care, and His guidance in our lives. And two, we begin to live a life that circumcised heart, which shows to all the world a type of life that is very special to the people of God, a type of life that flies above the circumstances of our times, the difficulty of our situation, and in fact, flies into the heavens and beside our Lord Jesus Christ. And how do I know this? Well, the first instance of living in a covenantal relationship with God is given to us in Genesis 17, verses 9 to 11. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between you and me. As we seek to circumcise our hearts, we begin to actually live in covenant with God. We begin to walk in that relationship with God and seek for God's help in our daily lives. And two, we become, as it were, the standard bearers of Christ's life in this earth. We become the hope of the earth. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Circumcision of the heart first makes us walk in relationship with God and then makes us the light of the world. It is the sign of the Christian's devotion, of in fact, the whole earth's devotion toward God. And when we live up to that circumcised heart, we live up to the call of God and we live out God's life in this world. And this actually leads to my next example, or rather lack of one. If we do not live out Christ's life on earth, there is no one who will do so. Right? Actually, yesterday I shared this story about St. Elred. Right? St. Elred was an abbot in Redal, right? Somewhere in Yorkshire, England. And I was told that the example was not so relevant. It fly over people's heads. I mean, most of us are not familiar with the monastic life and so on, so on. So I decided to try and find another example to talk to us about somebody who would give up their whole life, would give up everything they had and all they love, not to enter ministry, but to perfect their pursuit of holiness, to maintain their circumcised heart. And as I was looking back, I realized that in the past 100, 200 years, there is no one like the saints of old. The church has lost that caliber of men. Our civilization has lost its pursuit of holiness. So much for the enlightened centuries. And I wonder, I had this reflection yesterday, and as I was talking to my family over dinner, I said, I wonder, you know, if Satan, like in Job, were to wander to and fro on this earth, and he would look for a man of God, and when he come back to heaven, right, he'd be so haughty, you know, just walking around in the courts of the heavenlies, would God have anyone to recommend to him today? Would God have anyone to say, have you considered my servant? Yes. Of course, and I wonder how God feels about that. But that was my reflection yesterday when I was trying to find another example. So the only example that we are left with is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Yes, good old war horse, our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth, right? And for this reason, and of course, we hear of the life of Jesus Christ from Paul in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, and he describes the mind of Christ, right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus is our great model for the circumcisions of our whole hearts towards God. We see it, first of all, when just before he started his ministry, in the wilderness, he overcame the temptations of fame, of food, his own survival, and of glory. After that, in his ministry, he would be warned to tell people after he do some insane miracle for them, please don't tell anyone. He avoided the fame and the laudations of men. And secondly, when they wanted to make him king in Samaria, what did he immediately do when faced with that opportunity? Did he grasp it? No, he ran away. Why? Because Jesus did not come seeking the glory of men, but that the glory of God would spread amongst the earth. And of course, we are here because of his circumcised heart. And of course, the most clear example of his circumcised heart to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he wrestled with God all the way and won in his death on the cross, in his death of obedience on that cross. This call of Jesus, this call for us to circumcise our hearts to God, just as he did, is the same call that God gave Abraham and that God called the people of Israel in the wilderness in Leviticus to be holy, just as God is holy. So it falls back onto us, right? We know the call, we know what it entails. So how? How may we begin on this journey to circumcise our hearts holy unto God? Well, there are three things that I would like to suggest to us, just based on logic, right? Based on my logic and how I think about it. First, examination of ourselves. Second, repentance. And third, prayer for God's help. So first, the examination of our hearts. Why is examination so important? It's because you cannot solve the problem if you don't know what it is in the first place, right? I always keep saying it's the rightmost, bottommost corner of the Johari window for those of us that are familiar with that kind of stuff, right? You don't know what you don't know, and if you don't know your sin, you cannot repent and ask God for help for it. So examination is very important, and we see an example of this in Psalm 32. The psalmist in that psalm has been trying to cover up his own sin, rationalize his own sin to himself, vindicate himself, but he realizes that this is a mistake, and this is what he says in Psalm 32, verses 3 to 5. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Brothers and sisters, our hearts are deceitful. It is easy for us, right, to rationalize our hearts, to rationalize our sins and dark desires. Yes, I needed to gratify myself because I felt so bad, right? Because I felt that without some sort of release, I cannot concentrate on my work. Yes, my wife don't love me anymore. So of course, I'm free to seek love outside of marriage. I feel so bad about myself. Can't I just play this game so I can get my mind off my own pitiful self-worth? We can, any day of the week, rationalize all of these things that we know are unacceptable to God. And this is why a keen examination of ourselves, of our desires, letting God into our hearts so that He may come and His light may shine on those desires. That is what is needed. But of course, it is hard to stand in the light of holy judgment. But I would say to us here, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, be brave. If you want to attain this life, a holy life, a life above just going from one addiction to the next, be brave. Allow God to come and stand and shine His light on your desires, that you may know what is good and what is evil. This brings us, of course, to the second step of our ERP gantry, which is repentance. And I would say regular repentance. I want to say repentance is not some transaction you do with God. Right? A lot of times we say do business with God. I don't want to do business with God. I want to be family with God. Right? Repentance is not a business transaction. Repentance is not some juridical cognitive action which you take. Oh, now I know I'm forgiven. No. Repentance is, in the Greek, it is a transformation of the mind. Metanosis or metanoia, right? In the Hebrew, it's shuv, is to turn. There's no actual word for repentance. It's to turn, in a sense, turn from your ways and turn to follow the holy ways of God. This repentance is what we need to continue to circumcise, as I said, circumcise our hearts, cut off those evil desires. In fact, it may not even, when we repent, it may not even be at the point where we are fully turned around to God, but at least it shows our faith in a God who will help us turn around. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 9 tells us so. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we repent, God will be faithful. God will see the desire in your heart to circumcise your heart to God, and He will cleanse and forgive you. Repentance then is not some process. It is an act of faith. An act of faith that tells God, we believe you will forgive, and we believe that you will cleanse our hearts and bring us on that holy journey of circumcision. And finally, that brings us to our last part, the part where we cross the gantry and continue onto that journey of holiness. Prayer. There's no real way for us to, by our own might, attain holiness. Holiness is only given to us by a God who can make us holy, that is, transform us into holy people, and two, that can declare us holy. So no matter how keen your examination on yourself is, or how rigorous your repentance is, all that does is it keeps you from sinning. It keeps you from easily going back to your own sin. But the help of God is what we need to fully reach that goal of holiness, to be declared holy by God, for the circumcision of our hearts to meet the fruition of God's holiness in our lives. And for this, we must ask it of God. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11 tells us that we are to ask God for this specific blessing. For His blessing. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who receives finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Prayer for God's help will be the final clincher in circumcising our hearts. We need, at the end of the day, God's help to be holy. And we need God's help to finally and effectually circumcise our hearts towards God. So up to this point, what have we talked about? We've talked about how COVID has really sort of torn away the mask of self-righteousness and shown us actually how self-interested we are at our core. But this is not the end for us. The call for God is the goal for us, that call to holiness. And how do we get there? First, we get there by circumcising our hearts, by enduring the cost and the pain of sacrificing those desires, those sinful desires within us that so pull us away from God. As we circumcise our hearts, we free ourselves from those seductive chains of Satan, and we liberate ourselves to follow and walk beside God, a holy God, on His holy highway. How can we do this? Well, we do this through examining our hearts, through repenting of our sins, and thirdly, by praying to God for His help in bringing us along. Once again, I want to remind us that we can by no means of our own, no strength of our own, no matter how much we do our ERP, we cannot attain holiness. But as we obey, what happens is that we fling open the doors of our hearts and invite a Jesus who was knocking furiously at that door to come in. Examination, repentance, and prayer for help will fling open our doors and bid the Lord God, the Lord our Father, and the Lord our Jesus Christ come in and dine with us. Is that attractive to you? Is that what you want? Even if you are non-Christian, this is the life that is calling out to you. It is calling you out from a life of just concern with your own self-gratification. It's calling you to a higher life, a more beautiful life, a life with God Himself that is so much and infinitely more worthwhile than simply satisfying, even for us, our own little and unholy desires. So if that is you today, whether you believe or not, and you want to circumcise your heart so you walk with God, I would ask you to follow me as I lead you in a short time, very short time, of examination, repentance, and prayer. Let us close our eyes and focus in on ourselves. Today is Sunday. A whole week has passed. Think back on your week. Are there moments in that week where you have given in to those desires you know have stained your soul? It may be one sin or a thousand. It may be heinous sins or light sins, but be brave. Allow God, cease the excuses in your head. Cease those vindications in your heart. Ask God to stand now in your heart and shine His light on those little things or those big sinful desires. Just allow for Him to do that right now. Now that you have that in your mind, quickly proceed on to repent. Ask God for His forgiveness for those sins. I don't care whether it's a heinous sin. I don't care whether you cheated somebody or whether you committed adultery. God is faithful and just, and He will forgive your sins. Confess your sin to God right now and seek His forgiveness for those things. It may even be something like you getting angry at your parents, overly angry, or even angry itself, and disrespecting them and dishonoring them. Ask for God's forgiveness right now. Now that we have laid our sins before God, repeat after me as I say this prayer of repentance. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our fellow man in thought and word and deed. Through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, we are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve You in newness of life to the glory of Your name. Amen. Right, so that's the first two steps. There are three steps, right? First two steps, we've gone through examination and repentance. And the last step I want to ask us to do is pray for the Lord's help. If you are not a believer, this is the time you ask God to come into your heart and dwell with you. And it's time, this is the time you give up your life to God. If you are a believer, this is the time to ask God to come into your heart and be with you. Transform your heart and give up your heart to God. Yes, they sound very like because they are exactly the same thing. So let us pray for that. Father in heaven, we know that we are unworthy. We know that we are without strength to circumcise our hearts and be holy unto you. But Lord, with you, we can do all things. Lord, we pray, come into our hearts, even into the darkest parts of our hearts, and cleanse us. Cut off all these unholy desires and circumcise our hearts for yourself. Give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, and take away this heart of stone. Help us believe in you. Help us follow you. And help us be holy unto you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I hope this has been useful to you. This is what it means to circumcise our hearts to God. And I hope this is a practice that we can carry on for many, many days after this, till we become holy, until our hearts are fully circumcised to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, before I send you off, I do want to share with you another thing. I'll share with you a song. And this song helps me when I want God and I desire God to be the desire of my heart. It helps me as a simple prayer. And I'll just sing this over us, and it can be your prayer as well. Just a short song, simple song, a song that's quite familiar to all of us, "As the Deer Pants for the Water." Right. And it goes something like this. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone will my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Lord, as we leave from this place, may you alone be our heart's desire. In all parts of our lives, may we circumcise our hearts and be holy unto you. Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work and praise your holy name, that all the world may know you are a holy God, and all the world may know how it is to live a holy life. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, amen. Have a great week, everybody.